This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, since its first broadcast over a century ago, radio continues to reach millions of people around the world, providing news and information on all aspects of human life. And this year's World Radio Day, which falls on February the 13th, we celebrated and highlighted the power and influence of a medium that continues to shape how we view the world around us.
I can tell you with a lot of confidence that where I come from, radio is the only source of information, trusted source of information. Mm. We have spoken to people who say if they don't listen to a radio in the morning, they feel bad. But not every radio. Credible radio. Journalism. Mm. Credible radio journalism.
When the news is coming on at 7 o'clock, we have the traditional drums that will play. Yeah. And you know when that one comes up, man, you're supposed to be up and running.
That is David Vandy, a veteran radio broadcaster and my colleague here at The Voice of America. He joins me together with John Tanza Mabusu, the host and managing editor of VOA's radio program, South Sudan in Focus. And Nigerians head to the polls in what many say is the most important election in their country's recent history.
Generally, I think it's not in the favor of the ruling party. Nigerians are not going, they're not going to the polls so happy.
Adeola Odunowo is a Nigerian entrepreneur based in Lagos. He joins me later in the show to speak on the issues driving young people to the polls. But first, as always, let's hear from you, our listeners. The question went out to Nigeria. What are some of the most critical issues that you're hoping that the next leader should prioritize? This is what you had to say.
One for light. Second one for fuel. Third one for security.
Number one, to empower the artisans so that we can improve our business. That will make our business to improve. Number two, to make sure to help us to bring the tariff of all this material that we normally used to go and buy in the market, to bring it down for the new president that is coming. Getting to a customer, when you tell them the price of this clothes is the material they want, they need, is this. Many people will complain that the price is too much, even though when the customer bring a cloth, you charge him for a price that so amount, he will say, why is it too much like this? So, and sometimes when we have a work, we don't get a light.
Many thanks to all of you for your opinions. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Now, since the first broadcast over a century ago, radio remains by far the most widely consumed medium of communication, with millions of people around the world tuning in each day to access all kinds of information about the world around them. And get this, according to UNESCO, more than 95% of the world's population uses radio. Even with the proliferation of digital and visual media, radio remains popular because it is a relatively low-cost and effective way to reach people who might not otherwise have access to information. But that hasn't stopped some people from proclaiming that radio as a medium of communication is on its last legs. Is there any truth to this? To find out, I asked my colleagues, David Vandy, a veteran radio broadcaster from Sierra Leone. David is the host of African Beat on The Voice of America. He joins me in the studio together with John Tanza Mabusu from South Sudan. He's the host of VOA's South Sudan in Focus program. Like millions of people on the continent, they both grew up listening to radio, and they joined me to talk about how they started in their broadcasting career and what they say is the power and influence of radio in their communities. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. So let me start off with you, David Vandy. Take us through your journey. How did you start into radio? Was radio your first love? Did you just happen to get into it by happenstance, by mistake? How did it start
well,
for you?
I would not say mistake. My first love was actually talking, because I'm an actor.
Yeah.
So I love to talk, and I talk to people. And it was during one of my plays that I was doing, one of the director general of the National Radio and Television, he was a good friend, and he goes to see all my plays all the time, the late Jibu Felix George. And he invited me in 1989 to audition at the National Radio and Television.
Mm.
You know, he invited me to do that. And I went there, okay, but whatever happened, I did not get the court. But just a few months after that, in 1990, the first FM radio station was opened in Sierra Leone. And I was also at the Bintoumane Hotel at the residence where the station was. I was actually doing a show.
Right at the venue where the station was.
The station was upstairs.
And I'm assuming that was the only radio station at the time in the country, no?
The first FM, no, the only radio station at the time was the Sierra Leone Broadcasting Service.
Right.
The National Radio. So the first FM radio station to be opened in Sierra Leone in 1990, the Atlantic Broadcasting Corporation, by two guys from the BBC, Jackie Chambers and Martin Davis. You know, they were upstairs and I was down doing a show. And I was talking. And then they heard my voice.
They're like, we want this guy on the air. So you started off in acting, drama, and then you found your way into radio.
Exactly.
Do you remember what your first broadcast was about?
My first broadcast was, after my training, you understand, it was a show called The Atlantic Cruise. I was the first Sierra Leonean to walk on radio after midnight. Because the radio station
at the time used to
watch
that close. Yes, close at midnight.
I had to come in after midnight to keep the people up until 2 a.m. in the morning.
Mm. You play music and talk.
Play music and talk.
Yeah.
And man,
good
the pubs were opening. They refused to go to sleep. People would call and tell me, all my battery is done, man. There was no light. I was using battery and I had to go and buy another battery because I had to listen to you. And the pubs turned down their own music they have and then they tune on to me because they listen to the quality of the music.
Right. That's quite interesting. Quite interesting journey. And your journey still continues. But we also have John Tanza Mabuso, the man from South Sudan. He's the host of South Sudan in Focus and managing editor. John, I know when you started off in 2010 here at the Voice of America, that wasn't your first year in radio. Matter of fact, you had just come from Nairobi. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit how you started into radio?
What brought me into radio is I'm a born communicator. I mean, during my young age, my peers, I used to make them laugh, you know, crack jokes here and there. And so I discovered I could do mass communication. And so when I was, you know, when I finished my undergrad, first degree in communications, and USAID had given a lot of money for Sudan, those days it was Sudan, to start the first independent radio in the history of Sudan, because in Sudan, you only have government radios. In Juba, you have Radio Juba, Radio Malaka, Radio Wow, Radio Omdurman in Khartoum. An international organization based here in Washington called Education Development Center was implementing that project. And so I was recommended. I came in and I was working as a senior reporter. And my job was to, you know, read news in English and colloquial Arabic. I started doing that in 2003 when I did it for two years, and there was a need for management. So they uplifted me up in the management, then we recruited other people to do the job.
But you were still broadcasting
even
as a manager.
I was still broadcasting. As a manager, I had my favorite show called Nogarat Tanna, Our Drum. And so I was doing a musical
show. You were the drum beater.
I was a drum
of the village.
I was the drum beater of the village. So I was doing that program, not knowing that people were listening to it.
Of course, people were listening.
Across the globe.
Yes.
Because we were on internet and stuff like that. So that's how I got into radio, and I love radio because when I was a kid, my father will put his radio somewhere. I'm the only guy who is told to go and bring that radio, and I will be told to look for BBC, Voice of America, or Deutsche Welle.
So your relationship with the radio started as a young age.
As a young guy.
When did your relationship start with radio? Do you remember your early days listening to radio?
Yeah. In fact, in my early days, first of all, I used to be a DJ. As young as six, my mother used to sell drinks at home. So when people would come from work,
you
would
play the music.
And you know, we had this turntable that is in something like a briefcase.
Yes.
When you open it, the speakers on top.
Well, we see it right there. That's right over there. Yes.
And you have this 45.
Yes.
So that's what I used to play. So that's how I got started. So I've been in it.
Did you listen to radio in the morning when you're growing up?
The first thing you learn as in Africa, at 6 o'clock in the morning, when BBC comes on, you hear that signature tune, then you know that it's
absolutely
morning.
Time to wake up. If you're still in bed,
and with our local radio, with the SLBS, when the news is coming on at 7 o'clock, we have the traditional drums that will play, and you know when that one comes up, man, you're supposed to be up and running.
Hello, I'm Richard Mason Smolki from Nigeria, Taraba State, Gembu, Federal Local Government. I'm enjoying your program. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Liz Kemigisha from Kampala, Uganda, and I love listening to Upfront.
Happy World Radio Day. We have two legendary broadcasters in the studio here, John Tanza Mabuso and David Vandy. Vandy hosts African Beat on the Voice of America. John Tanza is the managing editor and host of South Sudan In Focus. Did you listen to radio growing up as a kid?
Yes. I used to listen. I mean, I would sit next to my dad, and then when my dad passed away, my uncle adopted me. I would listen next to my uncle. My uncle was also a radio man. So when I came in, he knew that I know how to manipulate the radio, and I know, you know, how hard it is to listen to a radio in a shortwave. Sometimes, due to weather conditions, you're not able. So I was the radio man.
Yeah.
I'll come there, and he'll tell me, I want this station, and I'll just go
You will know where to go.
I'll find tune. When I get it, when the red light comes in, its stereo is going on. Then he will tell me you can go, but I will not go very far. I sit somewhere.
It's very interesting. If kids were to listen to us right now talking about radio and our access to information, how, you know, it was difficult to even get access to a radio to listen to a frequency.
Listen to yourself.
You know, I remember when I was in Uganda in my primary school, Kenya, I think it was KTN, Kenya National Television, Kenya Radio, the national broadcast in Kenya, was the only one that had more than one frequency, and one of the frequencies used to play music. And because I was interested in music, we used to try to capture it hours when, I guess, there are less interruptions in the airwaves.
Yes, you know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about the power of radio in our communities. Starting for you in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, obviously, a country that has had a very interesting history, troubled history. You had a civil war for many years. What is the power of radio?
Radio is powerful. Let me just take you to during the time of the war, when we had the 11-year civil war. In as much as the soldiers were fighting, we had people, soldiers from different countries that make up ECOMOG, but it was the radio that actually fought the war, because when all other radio stations, like the government radio and other independent radios that came on now, were off the air, it was Radio Democracy, FM 98.1, that was the only voice apart from the BBC. And it was that radio that saved people. Because when the radio tell you, don't go to a particular place, the Alpha Jet is coming towards that end, you know that you are saved. People died because of that radio. Because when the rebels will come and if they hear you listening to that radio, they will kill you. So people hide, go under their beds, just like you take, find them frequency to listen to 98.1 radio. So the radio fought the war in our own way. The way we know is to talk. So that's why I said the radio is powerful. And up to today, 98.1 FM, it is still on air.
Wow. That's a great legacy. Now, John, because of all these technologies, you know, cell phone, TV, obviously, people consume a lot of visual media. They're saying radio is dead. Is radio dying?
No. Radio is not going to die. Whoever thinks radio is going to die is daydreaming, because radio penetrates into the bedroom. Every bedroom at night, radio is there. It doesn't have eyes, it doesn't have ears, but it keeps the people alert. I'll give you an example. You're talking about an FM station in Sierra Leone that was fighting the war. During our war in South Sudan, the Ethiopian government gave Dr. John Garang their gospel radio station in Addis Ababa. It was called SPLA Radio. That radio fought the war. The SPLA will tell you, we are coming, and they will come.
They will come.
If they say we are marching towards this town, they are marching. So radio was so powerful. And I can remember in 1987, Radio SPLA was banned in Sudan. But, you know, this is a shortwave. You cannot ban a shortwave. So by 3, you lock yourself in your room and you tune. You want to listen to the war news, what is happening.
What is happening?
Yeah. You know, people listen to radio because of curiosity. They don't know what is happening on the other side.
Let me give you an instance. There was a day during the 1999 invasion of Freetown, when the rebels came into Freetown in 1999, all right? And by then, 98.1 FM radio stations were now up at Signal Hill in the capital city, you know, because originally nobody knew where the radio station was.
Mm.
The rebels were
it
finding
it
tooth and nail.
Yeah.
To find it.
Yes, because when you capture radio, you've captured power.
And
really,
that was the only thing that was disturbing their peace.
Mm.
But when we came into town, and then there was this attack again in 1999, at some point, about 2 to 3 weeks, I was the only voice on the radio. And then what actually happened, there was a day my family was behind rebel lines, and I was sitting there telling people that everything is going to be okay, but my kids were behind rebel lines. And I am human. It got to some point, I got so emotional that I switched the radio off.
Wow.
I turned off the transmitter and everything. Because you are the operator, you are the producer, you are the presenter, you are everything. So we know about everything from the transmitter, how to turn it on, how to turn it off, everything we know. Guess
this,
what?
This was in the middle of the war.
In the middle of the war. And that was the only voice that was going out.
Wow.
You want to see the government ministers, the military, this, that, everybody running to the station. The top station has been attacked.
By your action of turning off the radio station.
And my only reason for doing that, I wanted to know what was going to happen to my family. And it worked.
Also, you were demanding for your family to be rescued.
To be rescued?
Yeah.
If I'm there fighting, let somebody tell me how my family is going to be rescued. And it worked. So that's the power of radio. And it was like the whole country was dead. Because that was their only source of hope, the radio.
Mm. When the radio is on and you can hear it,
you can hear
there's hope.
There is hope.
Yes, yeah. There is life.
There is life.
It is life.
Let's talk about the changing landscape of radio stations in Africa, broadcast journalism generally on the continent. Is there hope? Is there a future? What are some of the changes that give you hope that radio is still very much alive and relevant and functional and utilitarian, that people are actually listening to it, especially for you broadcasters?
I mean, I would say radio has a long lifespan in this business, as long as they employ professionals. Because you remember the sad story about Rwanda, and every dictator will point to that and say, you see what the radio did in Rwanda? They will go, you know, by pinpointing mistakes. But if radio is managed by professionals, people who know...
And
people,
use the right way.
They use it the right way, radio is going to stay forever. Regardless of TV, come on, look at Africa. Look at the economic power in Africa. The buying power. Who has it?
There's a few urban centers
urban centers.
And they're the ones who can access TV.
It's somebody who has money who can access television or a satellite television. But the majority of the people... The majority of the people are still for radio.
In the rural areas.
Exactly. You see what Tanza is saying? It is so true. A few days ago, I had an interview in Sierra Leone on the same World Radio Day. I was here and they called me. And one thing I talked about is what Tanza just talked about. Integrity. When you work on the radio, that is one thing you should have. Integrity.
Mm.
You should be a professional. Because the people out there that you're talking to, their hope and their dependent is on you.
The person behind the microphone should have legitimacy.
You have to be legit
to
sit behind that microphone, because what you're telling them is gospel.
Yeah.
And it's like I used to say, when you open this microphone, when you say that you're not supposed to say, by the time you come back to say you are sorry, if 1 million people were listening, 500,000 have tuned off, and you're not going to get them back so easily.
Which is why we have the cough button right here in studio.
That's right.
Actually, I think I just pressed it, which muted me. But we do have a cough button here in the studio.
You know, so integrity counts. You know, like you talk about the landscape that is happening now. People are talking about, social media, this is the... Social media and radio are complete tool. It's like...
Night and day.
Night and day.
You understand? On social media, everybody is professed to be what they want to be. Everybody is a blogger. Everybody is a journalist. Everybody is a this. Everybody is that. But for you to be in radio, you have to be a professional.
Yeah.
You have to have integrity.
And dedication. To the art, to the craft, to the science,
you don't just
to
get up
people.
One morning and you think... Jackson passes away. Oh, yes, you know Jackson passes away. No, you don't do that.
Mm.
and radio.
There's a process.
There's a process that you have to go through. So integrity counts. Professionalism, everything about it counts. That's the difference.
And loyalty.
With radio. And loyalty.
Loyalty. Yeah. Yeah. Loyalty.
And that's the difference with the radio. When I say radio, traditional radio, and what is happening today. The internet cannot go everywhere. Television, like we say, cannot go everywhere. This social media, if you take your phone, you go to some place, it will not work. But radio goes everywhere. I can remember at some point, VOA used to send out radios that people just crank. They crank it. You see people in their villages, crank, 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 and then you see everybody come and sit down. They listen to VOA.
Wow.
Just like that.
How time has changed.
Yeah, and then, just talking about how the sustainability of radio, I can tell you with a lot of confidence that where I come from, radio is the only source of information. Trusted source of information. We have spoken to people who say if they don't listen to a radio in the morning, they feel bad. But not every radio. Credible radio journalism.
That was John Tanza Mabusu and David Vandy, both radio broadcasters here at the Voice of America. David is the host of African Beat on the VOA, and John Tanza Mabusu is the host and managing editor of South Sudan in Focus. You can listen to both their programs at voaafrica.com. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation and the biggest economy on the continent, is gearing up for elections on the 25th of February. As the top presidential candidates make their final rounds of campaigns around the country, they're all targeting the crucial youth vote. Nigeria's youth make up the majority of the over 90 million registered voters. So, what are some of the top issues driving this year's election, and what are the candidates doing to encourage voter turnout? For that, I reached Adeola Odunowo, a young Nigerian entrepreneur based in Lagos. So, Adeola, thank you so much for joining us today. As Nigerians prepare for elections in the coming days, give us a little understanding of what the mood is like in Lagos, where you're based right now.
Okay, so the mood right now is basically in two folds. One, within the young people, the youths are like excited, they're anticipating, they can't wait to go to the polls to create some kind of change in the society. While for the established politicians, the major ruling parties, PDP and APC, they are like trying to hold on to the stronghold, hold on to power. So that's basically the two divides I noticed. Like one section of people who can't wait to get to the polls to revolt against the system.
How has the campaign season been as compared to past election periods?
Like in the history of Nigerian politics, money has always played a very significant role, especially towards the tail end of the campaign period. But with the Naira swap, the Naira redesign, and all the recent policies coming from the central bank, it's not been business as usual.
So who are some of the candidates, least the main candidates, and what kind of change are they promising?
Okay, so basically, in no particular order, there are three, or let me just say four top runners. We have the APC, the ruling party, with Aswaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu. That's the presidential candidate. Then the PDP. PDP was the party that the APC took over from the government. That's the Alhaji Atiku Abubakar is the flag bearer for the PDP. Then the third force, you know, as is being described now, is the Labour Party, which has Peter Obi. The third force, the Labour Party, is looking more like a revolutionary force, you know, in the history of Nigerian politics. Before now, the Labour Party is not really in, like they're not in contention, let me put it that way. They're not one of the leading parties. you know, but now they are like rated like top three.
So of all the three leading, let's say the three leading candidates, who is being viewed as the change candidate among the youth?
The youth votes, I would say 100% is going to Peter Obi, because among the three leading presidential candidates, is the one who's kind of closest in terms of age brackets to that seem to understand the problems of the economy and the basic problem that the young people are facing, you know. And in terms of interaction, if you put vis-a-vis the online interaction across different social media platforms, it's still Peter Obi that is the one who has had more mentions, the most mentions among the. And for the first time, I think we've had something that looks more like an organic followership. Peter Obi joined the Labour Party. The Labour Party wasn't really known, but just by Peter Obi joining Labour Party, now Labour Party has become like a force to reckon with. Even though within the Nigerian space, it's always said that, oh no, the two major parties, APC and PDP, they are the ones that have the structure in terms of like national structure. But here is a Labour Party with no structure, no sitting governors, and in a couple of months, they've been able to build so much followership, especially within the youth, you know, the youth bracket, and they are all gearing up to like come up with a new Nigeria. So the slogan goes, "A new Nigeria is possible." And so, that slogan in itself has that revolutionary effect on the young people's mindset.
Well, what are some of the main issues that are driving people to the polls this year?
Oh, so NSAS, I would say, plays a very significant one.
Did you say NSAS?
Yes, NSAS, that happened in 2020. Yes.
Right.
That's like against the police brutalization, you know. There's this outstanding issue where people generally believe that some people were killed at the toll gates, you know, until date. There's been no justice, you know, people have not been brought to book. Even the government has not really admitted that XYZ number of people were killed, you know. So there's just that. They just feel like it's been swept under the carpet since 2020. That's still like some kind of outstanding score they have to settle with the sitting government. So that's
what about
one.
The crunch in the economy.
I was just coming to that. With people don't have money to spend. Like, you know, so you listen to families complaining about not having money to feed their families. You know, there's still also the fuel scarcity is still in existence. There are several queues. Just general, the exchange rate, Naira to dollar, you know, now the Naira is not even available. You know, before now, there was Naira, you know, there was Naira available. Now with the CBN, the new CBN policy with the Naira redesign and the swaps, which has not been going on well within the banking sector. And there's been pockets of riots here and there across the country. You know, some banks were being bombed. You know, a couple of people lost their lives due to police brutality, which is still like ongoing. So all that, I think is not in the favor of the ruling party, because I mean, for a party who claims to have delivered several infrastructural mileage over the 8 years of their reign, and towards the tail end, you have all these challenges taking them straight into the pools. I want to believe that Nigerians are not going, they're not going to the pool so happy.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. Many thanks to all of you for tuning in, whether you tune in on radio or online via our website at voaafrica.com. We thank you, and many thanks to my guests, David Vandy of African Beat and John Tanza Mabusu of the South Sudan in Focus program. Many thanks to Adiola Odunowo in Lagos, Nigeria. Remember to connect with us on all our social media platforms. We are at VOA Africa and at VOA Upfront.
Until next time, I'm Jackson Vunganya in Washington, wishing you a great week ahead, Africa.